It's to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with God, because that's what he would ask of us. I look out into the world, I look out into the news, I look into my family, I look into health situations, life situations, and I go, Lord, are you still there? Do you still have this? Do you still have me? Do you still notice me? Do you still care? I have heard lady after lady share with me at times, and they'll say, can you pray for me because my prayers don't work? And I'll go, no, my prayers are no different to yours. And they say, but mine don't seem to be listened to, heard even. God's not answering. There's times when people come and say in other ways of, I believe God would do it for you, but he wouldn't do it for me. But God's got no favourites. We're all on the same level. God looks at us and we're all the same. We're all different, but we're all the same to him. His love is the same to each and every one of us. So the question that you often come up, are you even real, God? You can get to that point where you even say, Lord, are you even, is there really even a God? Because I don't feel you, I don't see you, I don't know you. I'm trying, Lord, but it's hard. Or you go, I believe there's a God, but he doesn't answer my questions. Or you get to a point, I believe there's a God, but Lord, just the waiting is so hard. It's not easy, it's difficult. When I get news from the doctor about cancer or a disease, or, you know, you're going to be in this condition until the end of your days, there's nothing we can do for you. Don't you get desperate? Don't you ask the living God to come and miraculously work in your life like he does here or he did here? We state we're Christians, we're followers of Christ, but to be honest, sometimes it's so scary. I don't have it right. Do you have it right? I'm still trying. But together, we can encourage each other to know that God is still with us. God is on the throne. He has got us in the palm of his hand. He does see and notice each and every one of us. We need to be honest. You know, a lot of the miracles that Jesus performed, did on people, he wanted their honesty. He wanted them to answer the questions that he asked of them. And he didn't just do it back 2,026 years ago. He asks us the same questions today. So there's three questions I'm going to ask of you to see what your heart, how honestly you are in your inner being with God, and that you would answer them. If you've never answered them, that you would answer them today. So we're going to look at John's Gospel. And it's the story of the man who waits around the pool where people get healed. And it's in John chapter 5, and we're going to start verse 2. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. So we're setting the scene up. There's Jerusalem, and there's this pool with porticos, you know, big archways. And all the lame, the paralyzed, those who are disabled, those who cannot, you know, fend for themselves, are laid here by their families, laid here by other people, so that they would, one, beg for help, because they would beg for monetary means or other means, but also that this pool, which had supposedly miraculous waters when the angel stirred the water, that they could get in there and be healed. And Jesus comes along and it states, one man was there who had been ill for 38 years. So is he 38 years of age Or did he become ill maybe when he was 12? 12 and 38, he's 50. We don't know, but he's been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man used an excuse. "Sir, I've got no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps in ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat and walk." And at once the man was made well and he took up his mat and began to walk. And I started thinking about if Jesus asked me the question, "Do you want to be well?" For 38 years you've been stuck. Maybe in a relationship, maybe in a family situation, maybe in illness, maybe in poverty, maybe in some destitute state, but you're stuck. We're stuck in life. We feel like there's no way out. And Jesus says, don't use an excuse of, "Well, I can't get into the water. It's only when the water's stirring, when the angel happens to be, you know, when the holy person's praying for you or something's happening, you know, the itinerant preachers come to our church and we're having a healing mass and I've got to go there because it's the only time I'm going to be healed." We actually then streamline God down into only at certain times will God work. God will work whenever he desires to work. But do we have a belief that he will? But also it said, do you want to get well? There's statistics which state sometimes people who are in situations get so used to the situation, they don't know how to get out, so they just pretend, "I'm happy to be here. It's okay. This is my life." I've heard it. This is my life. But they're not happy. They're not content. They're not saying, "Well, God can maybe get me out of it. Maybe God allows us to be there because that's where he will come." I read something the other day. It was so beautiful. When you feel lonely, praise God that you're lonely, because then you know that the God of mercy and comfort will come to you. Wow. I'm not lonely anymore because he's with me. The Lord of my life, the giver of all, the thing that makes, you know, not the thing, the God who makes me the happiest ever is coming to me in my loneliness. But we don't do that. Often we'll just go, "This is where I'm at. This is where I can't get out. There's no way. You know, government don't have help for me. I'm stuck in a queue. I've got a 2-year wait for, you know, whatever they might wait me for." But our God sees us and he says, "Do you want to get well? Is that your desire? Are you being honest with me, with yourself?" And on your honest days, we tell him, we let down the barriers, we let down the masks, we let down the "I'm fine," and we honestly tell God where we're at. And he wants us to talk to him. He wants that relationship with us. He wants that honesty. Because if we let our barriers down and be honest, then he can come in and give us all that we need. But we've got barriers up and walls and masks. It's impenetrable. It's not impenetrable for God, but because he allows us to have our own self, he waits for our surrender. He waits for our invitation. He waits for the barriers to come down. And when we say, "Finally, I'm desperate, Lord, I need you. Are you still there?" And he will come. Another scripture. We're going to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And here, Jesus in Jericho. Don't you love it? Before he was in Jerusalem, now he's in Jericho. He could be in the USA. He could be in Ireland. He could be in South Africa. Wherever we are, God is. He's not stuck in one spot. He comes to Jericho and he's leaving. And it says, as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. He's sitting there where the roads cross, where the street lights in our days, there'd be highways and lights. And he's waiting there because he knows there's going to be traffic. He's going to be able to cry out for help. Someone's going to give him some money, some food, some, you know, bedding, whatever it might be. And he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is going to come through. He hears about him. Good gossip. He hears that the living God, Jesus, is coming. Because how do we know that? Because he cries out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." He goes back to the heritage of Jesus, comes from King David, and he cries out to him, "King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus, you are son of David, the King David. Have mercy on me." Do we cry out to God like that? Many in the crowd told him to be quiet. How many times do maybe other family members, people in our workplaces tell us to be quiet? Just shut up. They're even ruder than that. Just pull your head in. You know, you might be wanting to share with them about Jesus. They might be asking you about it. And then when you start, they just go, "Nah, sorry, not interested." And that's fine. But it doesn't stop you crying out from the depths of your being, saying, "Jesus," so he cried out, it said even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And I love the next three words, "Jesus stood still." When have you got Jesus' attention? When you've cried out to him and said, "Have mercy." You know, Jesus, God cannot turn away from that word, mercy. His love for us and his mercy for us sent his son. It says in the book of James that his mercy overcomes all judgment. Call upon the Lord's mercy. The thief on the cross did. And Jesus said, "You will be with me tomorrow in paradise." Mercy. God does not stop past that word. He hears our cries. "Have mercy on us." And they say, "It's your lucky day, mate." What do they say? "Take heart, get up, he's calling you. It's your lucky day. He wants to talk to you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" I read that and I thought, oh my goodness, and hear this respectfully, is Jesus stupid? A blind man, and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Surely to make him see. But Jesus is going to the heart of this man and saying, "What is it that you truly want me to do for you?" Maybe the blindness isn't the problem. Maybe it's the shame you feel because of the blindness. Maybe it's the discouragement. Maybe it's like you've never had anyone stand still for you when you've called out for help. You've never had the living God be merciful to you. But he's showing you mercy now, but he's asking, "Be honest, what do you want me to do for you?" God wants our honesty, because then you're inviting him to be honest with you. Then he can make you the best person you could ever be, because then you surrender yourself and you allow God to whisper at different times and so patiently and lovingly. He's so patient with us. Rosemary, that's not a good way to think. We don't think like that. Because remember, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We've got to take on kingdom's values, kingdom's ways, the way Jesus has taught us. And so often, because we live in the world, we get mesmerized by things. We get influenced by things. And we sometimes go a bit like, what is God's way? What is the way we should be? We need to be honest. And the third scripture is in Matthew's gospel. And it's where Peter declares who Jesus is. But first it says, Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi. See? Jerusalem, Jericho, Caesarea. No matter where you are, God can reach you. He asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" So he says, "What's the gossip in town? Who are they telling me that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others Elijah," meaning you've come back to life. "Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to him, "But who do you say that I am?" Jesus asks that question of us. Who do we say that he is? Do we believe that he is the Son of God? Do we believe the promises he gives us in Scripture? Do we believe when he says, I am going and sending you the Holy Spirit, but don't forget, I am with you till the ends of the age? Do we believe that he's with us? Or do we just think it was something he just off the cuff said, that the Holy Spirit has no power, is a bit useless in my life? He's only useless if you don't use him, if you don't acknowledge him. The power of the risen God, the power of Jesus dying and coming back to life, is the same power available to us if God desires it. He desires us to go into the world and tell everyone the good news. What's the good news in your life? Have you even worked out what the good news is? Have you even practiced, what do I say when someone says, why are you so content and peaceful? You've just heard you've had cancer. I'm a mess. Why are you coping? Have you even worked out an answer to that question? Because if you practice it, you get the Holy Spirit to help you with the wise words that he has and helps you to be courageous, to share it when you need to share it. And sometimes if you can't speak the name Jesus, you can still say, you know, God has helped me. I will pray for you. He will help you. I've had one man reject one day when I said I would pray for him. He said, no, thank you. He came back the next day and said, sorry, I was in a very bad place. I'd love your prayers. I'm not pushing my faith on them. I'm praying for them. I had many bosses who would know that I went to church on Sunday, and as they left, when I finished work for the day, they'd say, say a prayer for me when you're in church. They weren't churchgoers, but they knew, for somehow, they knew the value of prayer. So are we honest with our God? He wants to truly know us, to help us and to serve us, but he needs to know what you truly care about, how you think. If you can be honest with anyone, you can be honest with him. You know, when Jesus, on the Holy Thursday night, washed his disciples' feet, he wasn't just sharing about, well, you know, you need to wash, you need to serve others, you need to be the disciples that go last. He was sharing just the beginning of the love that he has for us. He was taking on the role of a servant on purpose. He's the king, and he takes on the role of a servant to show us, this is how much I love you. Dying on the cross for us, and he calls out to his Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was sharing with us how much love he has for us, that he would do this. I often feel, you know, when they were whipping him before he had to carry the cross up the hill, and they were lashing him, and the lashes were those terrible ones that had like metal pieces on the end, so when they lashed the skin, it brought the skin off with it. And they were trying to ridicule Jesus. And every time he was lashed, I could just see him going, I'm doing this for Helen. I'm doing this for Rosemary. I'm doing this for Peter. I'm taking all of this on the cross because I love them. And he would have chosen and used each of our names, saying he was human, but he was also divine. And in his humanity, he was in pain. How do we feel when we've got a little splinter in our finger and it keeps annoying us? How do you think it felt for Jesus? But he took it because he loves us. We can ask the question, why are we so afraid? If Jesus is with us, if Jesus is for us, nothing can stand against us. And you can go, but I've had many Christians who go, but look at the world, and you know, that person was a Christian and they still got murdered, and that person is a Christian and they're still hungry and no water or food, they're dying. They bring their children, you know, the picture of the children with the flies on their faces. that just breaks your heart. But Jesus says we're in the world. We're going to suffer because of our choices in the world. But the eternal life is not destroyed. They have a life forever and ever and ever with the Father. Remember, it's kingdom values. It's kingdom we're going to. We're only passing through this world. But maybe those pictures are what is needed so that it will break our hearts. For those who have lots will give away to those who have little. Jesus asks these questions because he wants us to go deeper with him. He wants us to be open to him. No masks, no barriers, no skeletons in the closet. He already knows. He just wants us to be honest. He opens us up so that his presence can fill us totally, and he can go deeper and deeper and deeper, and we can truly know him. We can truly know him. He wants to get past the surface and into the inner depths of our soul, our being. Often it's way more disruptive in there. It's way more scary. It's way more dirty because we've hidden so much. You don't have to tell the person next door to you, but tell Jesus. He already knows, and he still loves. He still forgives. You know, some of us have to take off our brains, our intellect, put it in a backpack and leave it at the door. Did you see the sign at the door when you walked in? Leave your backpacks here. And I'm not talking about the beautiful backpacks that some people have brought. Why I suggested the backpacks is often homeless people have a blanket, but where do they put the blanket after they've woken up in the morning? They need somewhere to put it in, a backpack. A lady needs to carry around, you know, those things that they need every time of the month. Where are they going to put it? They need a bag or something to carry. But our backpacks often carry so much junk. And not always our intellect gets in the way. God uses our intellect. There's so many wonderful Christians who weren't Christian and were intellectual, and they discovered Jesus because of their brain, because they sought him out. They went for the truth. They discovered, they read and researched the Bible. They researched, you know, the world. Think of, you know, the last astronauts that went up. One of them, when he came back, became a Christian, because he said, when you go up there and you see the universe and how the scope of it, you've got to go, there's got to be a God. How wonderful. God uses anything to reach us. But sometimes our intellect can get in the way. He wants us to know him. Yes, use your intellect, but truly know him in your heart. And us women know more than anything what this heart emotion is. You know, we can be watching a movie and be crying, and your husband turns to you and goes, "What are you crying for?" But another woman would totally understand because it's touched your heart. Who you are, the essence of you. And that's what God desires. He wants us to be honest. Now, we can use an excuse, "I'm too busy." You know the story of Martha and Mary in Scripture? Martha's rushing around and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. Sometimes in life, you've got to be the Martha, rushing around. Think of a mother with little children. Okay, I'm going to have a prayer time. You sit there and you sit there and I'll come back in half an hour, and you're still going to be sitting on that seat and everything will be wonderful. Think of older people looking after the elderly, their parents who've got dementia or Alzheimer's or unwell or just got to go to hospital visits or doctor visits. You're so busy looking after them, sometimes you don't feel you've got time for God. Well, why don't you do what lots of people do? Lots of saints do, lots of missionaries do, pray while you're doing the work. We do it anyway. How many people said, "Oh, God, help me"? Because you've just had an argument with your mother or something, or it's so hard, frustrating, it takes you half an hour to get her in the car to get to the doctor's because she's so slow, can't get up the steps. "Oh, God, help me." Well, ended up being a prayer time. "God, help me, I need your help. I need mum to go a bit faster. I need traffic to be well, because otherwise we're going to be late for the appointment. Bring prayer into your life. Bring God into your life. It's not God and us. It's God with us. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going on. Tell him. He loves honesty. Tell him when you're scared. Tell him when you're not sure. Tell him, Lord, are you still with me? It's so hard. Tell him. We need his grace. We need him. Now, I've had many people who say over the years, you have the faith, so it's okay for you because you have the faith. But you've got to read in the letter of 1 John chapter 5, it states this. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. But it goes on to state what it is. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? It's not my faith. It's not how good I am. It's not like, yes, Lord, it's God. I put my trust in you. I can't do it. You can. When I am weak, you are strong. I'm zero. You're 100%. I use the when I am weak, you are strong, Lord, prayer all the time. Lord, I can't do this, but praise God I can't do it because it means you can. You can come and help me the best way I can. You can give me the empathy. You can give me the patience. You can give me the wisdom I need. I need the wise words. I need the right thinking. I need the heart of you, God. And then we go to the book of Ephesians, and I love this because I want to pray it over you, and you need to pray it over yourself all the time. Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he states in chapter 3, starting at verse 16, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, through belief in him, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. God is rooting us and grounding us in love. If we're grounded in love, then what we say, how we love, what we do cannot but be good, because it comes out of the love of God. And then he goes on to say, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend, to understand with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I love it when I read about saints who are not knowledgeable, unlearned, only went to primary school, and God chose them to use them in the world because he gave them his love. They didn't have the knowledge because love surpasses all knowledge. God gave them the knowledge they needed. They then went afterwards and learnt things. They went and studied some things because God's love basically, inspired them to go learn more. But the love they had for God all came from him. We don't need to be learned people with, a degree in theology. It's the study of God. We can study God at home, in a chair, driving the car, spending time with him, reading scripture. This teaches us so much. Listening to others who know God more better than us or seem to be. But we all can encourage each other. We all have different gifts and abilities that God wants to use for the body. And then in verse 20 it says, now to him, by the power at work within us. Remember, the power is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. The same power works within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So I pray abundantly, far more than I could ask or imagine. It's going to blow my mind in what God can do. Not just for me, not just for you, but for each person that calls to him, that cries out, have mercy on me, O King. O Lord, I believe in you, but I struggle to believe at times. Be honest. And God could abundantly do way more, way more. You know, you have those entrepreneurs that just think outside the box. We want scripture principle. We want Christian entrepreneurs that think outside the box. All disciples actually should be, because we are doing it abundantly, way more than we could ask or imagine, because we have the power of the risen God living within us.